Go to the Lord now and hear His word from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we'll be reading verses 1 through 18. First Thessalonians 4, verses 1 through 18. And beginning in chapter 4, verse 1, these are the words of the living and true God. They are inerrant and infallible and good for us. Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion, like the Gentiles who do not know God. And that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things. Just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. So he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, to excel still more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, and attend to your own business and work with your hands, just as we commanded you, so that you will behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Those are God's words. We're here given an exhortation to stay clear from uncleanness and immoralities, that we not live like the Gentiles. And we think of the Thessalonians, and they were Gentiles, mostly Gentiles. But speaking of those Gentiles being those who are not of the people of God, those who live according to the old life, the old nature, the one they were born with. And they were told here, or commanded here, to put that old nature, that old life aside and live in Christ. God has not called us to live like the Gentiles, like the heathen, but verse 7, to sanctification. To pursue sanctification, to put to death sin, as we've heard in the mornings in verse 8. And to not pursue sin is rejecting God, who gives us the Holy Spirit for that very purpose of sanctification. So then what then is pursuing sanctification? He gives us some examples, not all examples, but some, verses 9 through 12, in pursuing the great duties of brotherly love. To set aside, set yourself to the duty of fulfilling your calling in quietness. The Thessalonians had the problem of not wanting to work, waiting for the return of Christ to come immediately. They thought he was going to come soon, very soon, which is a good thing to hope in, and what we long for, especially as Christ said he is coming soon. But they stopped working. And they stopped doing important things for their livelihood. And then the rest of the passage, Paul seeks to comfort those who have lost loved ones. That our grieving, beloved, as Christians must be different than those who have no hope. Who have not Christ, who are not Christians. If we, verse 14, believe the gospel, then we should know that those who are Christ's, though they have died, will be raised up to life again. And here we learn a little eschatology, of course, or the study of last things. If we are alive when Christ returns, those who have already fallen asleep, that is, those who have died, will be brought to Christ first. They'll be raised up from the dead first. And then, having been risen and meeting Christ in the clouds, those who remain alive will meet Christ too. I'm assuming, though, in that it will be hardly noticeable by anybody, the difference in time of that. Between those who had died previously and those who remain alive. But those who are alive at Christ's coming, and those who have died from Adam onward, all who are in Christ will always then be with Christ. And so you ought to comfort yourself in these things, but you're called here to comfort each other with these things. To remind each other of the hope that we have of Christ's coming, of when we will meet Him in the clouds, even when our bodies will be raised up and we'll have new glorified bodies, and meet Christ in the clouds, whatever that might look like. We don't know. But I'm sure it will be glorious, as is the rest of the descriptions of that in the Scriptures. Let's pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the great duty that we are given to love our neighbor as ourself, but to especially love the brethren. Love our brothers and sisters in Christ and serve them and help them. Father, we ask that You would continually remind us how to love each other. And Father, we ask that You would sanctify us in these things. That we would not bring dishonor upon Your name by remaining in our sins and taking part in our sins like the Gentiles do. We pray that we would flee our sinful desires and kill them with a great hatred for them. And give us love and a great good desire and will for those things which are good, which are pleasing to You. And even honoring our fathers and mothers and not murdering, not committing adultery, not stealing or lying or bearing false witness or coveting. Father, help us to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. That we would show the love of Christ to them, that He would even have opportunities to comfort them, even when a loved one of theirs dies or a loved one of ours dies, and we're able to witness and testify of the goodness of the Lord and the hope that is within us. Father, help us to comfort one another in times where we need comfort. In times when there is the time to weep, we pray that we will be able to weep with those who weep and show brotherly love that way. And rejoice with those who rejoice. That we might encourage them and give praise to You. Father, we do pray for Your church. We pray for the many missionaries throughout the world, those who have taken the gospel to nations, places where You are unknown. Pray that You would give them Your word, cause them to witness the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, where there is much false teaching. We pray that you would give them success, that you would send your Spirit, and you would bring in Christians to your church from every nation and tribe and tongue. Father, we do pray for John. I won't give the name because of where he's at. But Father, most of us here know where he is, and we pray that you would heal his body and give him success in his ministry. Father, we pray for our own congregation, that you would grow us, that you would make us, give us great passion to evangelize and serve and tell people about the gospel, invite people to come to worship, to hear your word read and preached. We pray that you would give us a good reputation in our community, and one that where people know that we believe in the Word of God, where many others do not or take it lightly. Father, may that be true of us. And Father, may many believe unto salvation, and that you would grow your church that way through new converts, because we desire your kingdom to grow. Father, we also ask that you would grow us in sanctification, encourage us in our communion with Jesus Christ. Teach us how to grow in that, as we're hearing in our sermon series in the evenings this evening. And Father, help us to love you. Father, we have sinned against you. We have broken your commandments. We have not worshipped you rightly in truth, and we have not worshipped with our hearts with passion and zeal for you. We've just come and went through the motions. Father, forgive us of our sins. And turn us to the truth. Turn us to righteousness and holiness by your Spirit. Make us to be holy as Christ is holy. By putting to death the sin within us, by putting on righteousness. And Father, we know that that will come about if you permit, and so we ask that you would permit. And we ask that you would be faithful to your promises. That you would show us covenant mercy, and steadfast love, as you've promised to do. Shower us with your grace and continue to give us your word. Please do not take it away from us, nor take your Spirit from us. Father, may we know that you are always present with us, that your Son, Jesus Christ, loves us and will never separate us, never separate himself from us, even when it seems like he has, if we are your children. And so, Father, give us a love for him, and a love for you, and a love for your Spirit. Father, we thank you for the church. We're thankful for all the ways that you have brought us to this point in our lives. We pray that you would continue that work and sanctify us, cleanse us of our sin. And we know, as we've confessed generally our sins, we know you are faithful and just to receive us for Christ's sake, to heal us, to cleanse us of our sin. And so we trust you in that, and we ask that you would give us peace at the right time in those things. Father, help us as we continue in worship now, for we pray in Christ's name. Amen.